Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Summer and sports in full swing. Go to my Twitter account, Do It Yourself Project, my bar cart from Lowe's. Little bar cart. Used it last night. Go to my Twitter account, at Colin
Coward.
It's nice. Lowe's.com. And my tray with a big C on it where I'm the master of my domain. Yes.
King of the castle.
So Brock Huard, I've known for a long time. Years ago, he worked at another network, and I kept telling my bosses, go get that guy. He played in the NFL for 6 years, a backup to Peyton Manning while he was with the Colts. He was, when I was high school player of the year in Washington State, was a star quarterback for the Huskies. Now he's a broadcaster and a really good one. And he is joining me now live via the Coward Global Satellite Network. So we both love college football. We both grew up Husky fans. Okay. So your family, all, you know, kids and you and your brother, everybody's played for the Huskies. And I look at college football and I think to myself, listen, here's the tricky part. If you're a pro athlete, you're like, listen, I'll play. But if you are an amateur athlete, it's like, okay, wait, now, like, I'm not getting paid. And what if I'm an NFL player and we don't have all the medical answers to this stuff? Like, I get some guys opting out. I mean, you just tell me, when you were 20 years old and you had an NFL future, what would you have made? Would you have wanted to play?
Yeah, Colin, I would have. And it's been a long time ago, you know, 25 years ago when I was a Husky. And I would add my nephew, Damon's son, Sam. One of the top recruits in America is going to be a Husky. He's committed there and was poised to early enroll in January. So, yeah, you're right. College football has been near and dear to your heart and to my heart for a long time. All I can say, and I tell this story not to be braggadocious in any way, but before my final year of college, I had people approach me and say, you really need a Lloyd's of London insurance policy. You know, at that point, you know, I was projected to be a first round pick and everything else. And you should really protect yourself and really get this Lloyd's of London insurance. And I just thought, no. Well, first of all, I couldn't really afford it.
Right.
So that kind of helped make the decision. But secondly, I was like, if I'm Sam Bradford and I break my collarbone and my senior year gets blown up, okay, you know, that was what was meant to happen for me. So when I was in that situation, it's a little different, but it's about the most parallel I can come up with. I made that choice that, you know, what is to be is to be. And I'm not going to control those circumstances and I'm going to go for it. And unfortunately, I didn't have a great senior year. Our team kind of fell flat. It fell to the third round. But I would have opted in, as I think you've heard the majority of those players say they want to do. They want to play. The Trevor Lawrences, the Justin Fields, many of the leaders in those programs, they all opted in for a reason. They want to play. They love the sacrifice. They love the hard work and everything that comes with it. So, yeah, I think 25 years ago I made that somewhat parallel decision. But if I was in those shoes today, I would want to go for it with my teammates.
You know, Brock, you were joining us for the radio audience. Brock, I think college football, which I love, has become too regionalized the last 10 years. And when I see the decisions being made, it feels regional. It's the SEC and the Big 12, Texas and the South. They just want it more and they're going to bulldoze through it. I mean, it is, what do you make of what is happening, which is the academic West? Big 10's got some academic powers as well. They see the world one way and the Big 12 and the SEC see it another. Is that a good or a bad thing for the sport?
Well, we used to celebrate differences.
Right.
Right. I mean, we used to, but now we're so divided in every way. I think two thoughts come to mind, Colin, as I've covered this game after playing it 25 years ago, that it's become much more hostile between upper campus and lower campus all around the country. That when I played, I never felt like the academic side was at issue with the sports side of it. But sports has become so big. Become a billion-dollar industry, become so much exposure and fanfare and so much the brands of these universities. And there's a lot of upper campuses that don't like that, that don't want that, that would probably do away with football. Frankly, many of the academics folks say, no, we don't need it. I don't like how our whole brand is being defined by our football team. Others celebrate it. And certainly in the South and the Midwest and the ACC and in many of those parts, they celebrate that brand has become such a big deal. Secondly, this goes as the SEC goes. If the SEC plows through this and navigates through this and navigates and is nimble through the ups and the downs and the cases that will inevitably come, and they push forward and play, the ACC and the Big 12 will follow. the minute the SEC in this situation says, you know what, we just can't do it. We just can't test at the rate we want to test to protect our players. We're out. Then you're going to see, I think, everybody else in college football follow suit.
As a former Seahawk and a guy that follows the NFL very closely, it pains me to say this because I love Russell Wilson, and my sister didn't like sports until Russell Wilson arrived and won a Super Bowl, and now she gets my passion for sports, and I think it's brought us closer together. But I look at Seattle. I thought the Jamal Adams trade felt desperate. It was a big swing to cover up problems. The O-line and D-line regression is clear. I don't think they're an elite drafting team anymore. Let's start with Jamal Adams and work our way from there. I feel like this organization has become the Houston Texans. Cross your fingers that Deshaun Watson can cover up all the issues. Is that a fair? Is that fair?
I wouldn't go quite there, Colin, because you've got strength from what you always talk about: ownership, GM, head coach, quarterback, and you still have many of those pillars in place, and you have what others envy, and that is stability there. And in an offseason that has been full of so many unknowns, and an offseason that's been so cut on the field for these guys, to have stability and relationship and trust between John and Pete, and as Paul Allen's sister Jody has taken over ownership and not missed a beat, I think because of that stability, to compare them to Houston or some of these other places, I think it is a miss. They have not been great drafting and developing the last 5 years. I don't think there's any way you could look at the draft picks from Malik McDowell to the people at the line of scrimmage and some of the failures there and say, yeah, they were like their first 5 years, because their first 5 years was unprecedented. The last 5 years, they've missed the mark to a degree. And Jamal Adams comes in, and you are right, he covers a bunch of those misses and a bunch of those ills. And more than anything, Colin, he brings just some swag. He brings some confidence. He brings some bravado. He brings some talk first, which, if you remember, in 12, 13, 14, and 15, and with Pete, both at SC in his decade of dominance too, he wants those kind of guys. So that move was made, I think, as much off the field as it was what he's going to bring on the field. Was it desperate? Yeah, I think there was some part of desperation in it. But I think when you got a quarterback in his prime and that stability for a decade, you make a move like that.
Yeah. You know what it also made me think of, Brock, is that San Francisco's so loaded. Seattle knows O and D line play is huge, and they're at a deficit on both of those to San Francisco. And it felt a little bit like, we've got to get some playmakers. We know we have a better playmaker at quarterback. We know we have the best middle linebacker, Bobby Wagner, in football, Jamal Adams. A little bit of the Jamal Adams thing was, we're not going to win line play against our division rival. We got no shot there. So I guess instead of me being idealistic, it's like, let's take big swings. Jamal's a playmaker.
Yes, I think that's somewhat fair. I think I would also add that the game has become about space, and you've heard lots of people say it. And it's not just San Francisco. It's what the Rams have done in gouging them in space on the perimeter. It's what Arizona did when they walked into CenturyLink Field in late December with their backup quarterback after Kyler went out and still beat them in space. That you've got to be able to play this game a little bit more creatively, defensively, than they've done in the past. And you have to have people that run and hit. Jordan Brooks, first round pick, is an undersized guy that can flat out run and hit. Jamal Adams can run and hit. The trade for Diggs last year, midseason, is a guy that likes to run and hit. They need more of those guys in space to win their division. And let's face it, if you don't win your division, you're not going to get to another Super Bowl. You have to win that division first. I think that move with Adams, I think that first round pick, I think some of the other acquisitions here over the last few months, Dunbar as well, the corner, those guys that can play in space are the premium. And if you're going to win your division, you need them.
By the way, I took up golf again because there's nothing else I can do now. So with COVID, I can go golf. I'm not going to say where you live. Your family, you got a bunch of kids. How have you dealt with COVID? How's your family dealt with it?
Yeah, it's brought us all closer together. There's simply no question about that. There's been unprecedented family time. And, you know, we spent more time talking and reading and walking and hiking and biking and doing all of those things. And Colin, trying to celebrate it. You know, you had a daughter that went off to college. Mine is not far. She'll be a senior next year. And just trying to, in these unprecedented times, really capture that family unit and that family time we have. We've done more of that than certainly we ever have in the rat race we were in for years and years and years.
Yeah, well said. Brock, good seeing you, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Sounds great, Colin. See you, Droy.
Yeah, really, really thoughtful, smart guy. He was at the other place, and I kept telling our managers, there's like one or two people we got to go steal. He's one of them. Very thoughtful. And he played high school star, college star. His family up in the Pacific Northwest, the Heward name, Damon Heward, Brock Heward. Now his nephew is like the number one high school football player, quarterback on the West Coast. So that is a, just like your family, it's an athletic family.
Yeah.
A bunch of jocks.
Until we retire, and then we just, like, eat Oreos. And
Cheetos.
Fish. No. Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its. Just do not get that. You and I have got a big gap. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised you don't like Cheez-Its because you're a salty snacker.
Oh, yeah, but I'm not a big cheese fan. Not a big cheese fan.
What?
I know, I'm not. I'm not a big cheese fan. I'm a big salt fan.
Cheese is like my religion. I eat cheese every day.
Yeah, not me.
Every day.
Yeah.
I had a doctor tell me that cheese doesn't affect my body. That was a mistake.
He told you, a doctor said
well,
that.
Well, like, because, you know, I mean, it does affect your body, obviously. But it's not like, some people eat cheese and, like, it's bad news.
I'm not into the milk industry. So you have milk, and then
I don't drink milk. But I definitely eat cheese.
And then you have cottage cheese, and then it curdles even more and becomes cheese.
Cottage cheese is packaged throw up. No, it's a texture of cheese. I don't understand.
I do not support the milk industry.
Sour cream, I'm big on. Greek yogurt.
I used to like yogurt, but then my nutritionist lady, I met some lady years ago, and she said, I'm always sick to my stomach. And she said, you're having 9 Greek yogurts a day. That's probably where we'll start.
You shouldn't eat 9 of anything.
Well, you eat 9 Cheez-Its a day, and you're fine with it.
Well over 9 Cheez-Its.
All right.
So guests are allowed in the NBA bubble after the first round of the playoffs, which is quickly approaching. And the league reportedly laid out the guidelines for who would be allowed to come in. So the NBA players got their notice. Each player will get 4 guests, but that number can be extended for children.
Okay, time out. Long-standing relationships only. What does that mean?
So guests can only be family members or friends that players can prove they have a long-standing relationship with. That means that...
let's be honest. What does that mean?
Anyone who a player who has not met in person...
Well, what does that mean?
Or knows only through social media an intermediary...
Like a side... person. Yeah, I mean, what you're telling me is it's a side person. What, am I wrong?
No, that's not why I'm laughing. No, you can't have just met some very interesting person on social media and bring them into the bubble.
Well, yeah,
so,
of course.
You have to prove that you have a relationship with
this
person.
Is another...
So I guess, like, if you don't have a picture with them...
So this is another sex topic. This is what this is. It's a sex topic.
Or, like, you can't just bring in 4 girls have all agreed to hang out with each other for a couple weeks in the bubble.
So what you're basically saying is family or friends, no...
Yeah, the scenario I just laid
internet
out.
Internet people.
Yes, no internet people.
Yeah, it's a sex topic. That's all this is.
I mean, it's important to know how many. So, like, people can bring their families in. So, say you want to bring your parents.
So, how long? No.
Your wife and your sister.
When
does
it start?
Or your mom. This is after the first round of the playoffs.
So
this is a couple weeks from now.
All right.
So, teams are going to start going home, obviously, once the playoffs start.
Right, like 8 of them.
And then once the playoffs continue and you get knocked out, you'll leave. So, there's going to be not that many people now in the bubble. So, in place of that, they are... And it's going to be a long time for guys who have been in there who have not seen their families or their children.
All right.
Each player is allowed 1 ticket per playoff game for a guest, plus an additional admission for a child that is 32 inches or below.
Sounds like a carnival ride scenario here.
They can quarantine in the team's market for 3 days, travel to Orlando, and then again for 4 days.
Do they have to be quarantined before they get there?
Yes. So they either go to the team's, wherever the team, well, they live in the team's market, obviously. So they're in the team's market. They can quarantine there for 3 days, then travel to Orlando and do another 4 days.
This sounds like a...
Or they can go directly to Orlando and quarantine there for 7 days.
This is just rife with lying. That's what it sounds like to me.
No. I mean, once they're in quarantine, they're going to have to be tested every day as well. So it's not like... These families are already in their homes.
So I couldn't call like a side person and say, okay, and give you a bunch of information and say, oh, I've known her forever. And then she comes in and they ask, well, when did you meet? And we linked it up and we talked about it and we're fooling the questionnaire.
I mean, I think they're going to do their due diligence to...
The NBA is the FBI or something?
I mean, look, I don't think people are going to go wild at this particular point. Like, and even if it is a side person, they still have to be quarantined and tested.
What's the term for that?
It's not appropriate for on air.
It's not.
I mean, what's
it's like, a side person.
What is a side person? A side person would imply that they have a full person. No. They also have a side person.
But you are better with this kind of talk.
Yes, I just explained it. So, they're not bringing their side person
you laughed
in.
When
bringing
I
their
said,
actual person in.
You laughed when I said side person because there's a name.
You said something else.
You know how when you have a job, you have a side hustle?
Yes.
So when you have a job that you make a little money on the side, it's called a side hustle.
Yeah, but that it would imply you have a full-time job.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Whatever. Let's move on.
Yes. So Damian Lillard chose to sign an extension with Portland last year instead of going to another franchise. Right. And he made it clear once again that he is not interested in joining a super team.
I like that.
Grass ain't always greener. And for me, I feel like we can build something and get it done in Portland. And I really believe that. I don't just say it to say it. Because I'm that committed to it, if it doesn't happen, I can live with that, knowing that, this is the way I wanted to do it.
I'm perfectly okay with this.
Well, also, they're good. They've got real pieces.
It's more frustrating when it's someone like... And I think Damian Lillard is better than Bradley Beal.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal's like, my organization doesn't have a history of getting its act together. Portland's got a history. Think about this. Portland's been the unluckiest team in the league. Greg Oden falls apart. Sam Bowie falls apart. Brandon Roy falls apart. If Sam Bowie didn't fall apart, they have titles. Greg Oden fell apart. They've just had horrible physical breaks. But this organization, historically, they found Damian Lillard.
Right.
I mean,
they have a good
Roy.
Situation with C.J. McCollum. They have other great players. It's a great culture. It's a great city.
Yeah.
Great fans.
If I trusted my owner and GM, like Damian does, I would stay in Portland. I wouldn't. Bradley Beal, I don't trust Washington's history.
No. And similar to what Draymond got fined for talking about Devin Booker. Phoenix is a great place to live. Great place to live, right? Why wouldn't you want to live in Phoenix? It's about the organization.
Do you trust their owner?
Right, that you're not trusting. It's similar to Cleveland. You can love playing in Cleveland, but I need to have some more proof that they're building a successful franchise before I think that's a great situation for someone. But I like that Damian is saying this and wants to win there. Finally, Hard Knocks premiered last night. It features the Rams and the Chargers this year. Gave viewers an inside look into how NFL teams are handling their new safety protocols this year, which I thought was very interesting. Multiple players were shown getting their temperature checks and their COVID tests as they entered the facilities. They also got their blood tested for antibodies.
Every day.
You don't get. I don't think you get the antibodies test.
But you get the
COVID test every day. Everyone has to have a mask or face shield on. They were showing some of the preseason Zoom calls, which were kind of funny. And then how the locker rooms and the meeting rooms are set up. So everyone's obviously very spaced out. The locker rooms, instead of having it... So generally, at least the NFL locker rooms that I've seen, the lockers sort of line the entire giant room.
Yeah.
And then there's kind of a big space in the middle.
Yeah.
And so they've taken the lockers out and kind of spaced them around.
Sure.
Sort of like in a cubicle fashion. Yeah. So you're away from everyone. Some of them have dividers, depending on the facility. The Rams built a whole... just wide open facility, multiple outdoor weight rooms. So I think you can only have 15 people in a weight room at a time. So they built multiple outdoor weight rooms so that they can have more players there working out. And then everything is obviously cleaned afterwards. Anthony Lynn revealed last night that he had coronavirus, that he tested positive for it and had some symptoms. He's since recovered, but he was talking about his experience with it as well. So I actually think it's kind of interesting because he can speak to the players directly about what that's like and how seriously they have to take it.
By the way, somebody just texted me, a friend. Now I know why you can't say the word on the air. Yeah, the side thing.
Yeah, we don't have telepathic ability, so I can't say it to you without actually saying it out loud.
Right.
But I don't think that's what this is necessarily about.
Okay, it just feels like to me it's a sex topic.
It's not. Not directly.
Well, some players it is. Whatever. It's, we'll take a break. It's Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Oh, my top five NFL headlines. I was going to do this yesterday and college football unraveled. My top five NFL headlines, I think we'll read. The Herd Herald. Coming to your doorstep next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Welcome back. We're under a month from the start of the NFL season. NBA today, 340 more tests, zero positive tests. So the bubbles are working. The NHL's had 7,000 tests. No positive test.
And congrats to the Portland Timbers, won the MLS's back tournament last night.
Boom.
Successful bubble.
Great. So the bubbles are home runs.
Yep.
The bubbles, now NBA is going to have a little sketchy thing going on here, but we'll see.
It's not sketchy. They still have to quarantine and be tested.
All right, we'll see. Just random people showing up, hanging out.
It doesn't matter if they're random. They still have to be tested.
Anywho. So the NFL is going to, it's going to be, now baseball is not a bubble. Players union wouldn't allow it. Players union, we're not doing bubbles. Baseball player union strong. I think it's been massively successful. God, the media just exaggerates everything.
Everyone freaked out a little bit.
Baseball's had 13,000 tests. 0.1 are positive. These are young men in cities for 3 and 4 days. That's incredible. The media, wait until the NFL has positive tests. Good God, it'll just be, and you know, those are, I mean, the media is just, does the media wake up every day?
I don't know. I am a card-carrying member of the media. I did not get the media handbook on the conspiracies, all the conspiracies that I'm supposed to be pumping. I haven't received that yet. So,
but you're positive in life.
According to Twitter.
Don't you wake up optimistic sometimes?
I think that most smart people look to solve problems, not create them, yes. And we don't put unintelligent people in positions of power to run billion-dollar industries most of the time. Every once in a while, we mess up. But for the most part, very smart people in charge of things,
I think the NFL is going to have some hiccups. I mean, there's going to be teams, but I think it's going to work.
We're
going to get through.
We also can't control everything.
That's right. We're managing all this stuff.
Yes.
We're not controlling it. We're managing
it. As much as I try to control everything in life, I fail every day.
So here we go. Joy, team me up. These are the five headlines we're going to see in the Herd Herald.
The Herd Herald. What will the headline in the Herd Herald be for the Cleveland Browns this season?
Baker, touchdown maker. Fourth easiest schedule in the NFL. The easiest first half schedule in the NFL. So as they have the new coach, Kevin Stefanski, it's a very easy schedule, some home games, some winnable games. They also solved their tackle issue, which now the Broncos have a tackle issue, a bad left one and a right one that's opting out. So this is going to be the year. Now, I do think they're going to be a run-first, play-action pass offense, but I love their tight ends. I love their receivers. Baker's going to have a nice year. He won't have the volume of touchdown passes of a Mahomes, maybe, or an Aaron Rodgers, but it'll be Baker, touchdown maker.
He's the only person you follow on Instagram. You should do an Instagram live with him.
I got no problem with it. And his pudgy body we saw yesterday.
He's not pudgy. He's working out. He posted a workout. Posted a workout picture. That's what you like to see. What will the headline be for the Baltimore Ravens this season?
Ravens nevermore. Impressive. I think they go 16-0. Easiest strength of schedule in the entire league. They don't travel at all. They finished the season with 6 games against non-playoff teams from last year. Now they've averaged over 30 points a game. But a lot of these critics of Lamar Jackson, I get a hoot out of this. Well, yeah, people got to figure him out. Well, he was better in the second half last year than the first half. So they're doing a really bad job of figuring him out. And by the way, in his division, the only downside to my prediction is I really do think the Steelers and Browns defenses are really talented, especially Pittsburgh's. But I don't think Pittsburgh has the offensive firepower of Baltimore, so I think the Ravens rock this year.
What will the headline be for the Green Bay Packers this season?
Love is in the air, and Jordan Love will at some point be used by this team. Now, Aaron's completion percentage has gone down each of the last 3 years, and the Packers have, according to Pro Football Focus, a top 5 offensive line. They were also last year 8-1 was Green Bay in 1-score games. Now, you know the story on that. That's not the way it works. That Seattle gets that. It's considered a random stat. It doesn't matter who your quarterback is. You don't go 8-1 in 1-score games. That's a matter of breaks, and you had the ball last.
Right.
Packers will face 7 playoff teams from last year. That's tied for the most in the NFL. Not going to be an easy season. I think they're closer to 9-7 than 13-3, and Jordan Love will get a rep somewhere.
What will the headline be in the Herd Herald for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this season?
Brady feels right at home. As in, the Super Bowl is played in Tampa, which is a 12-minute drive up Dale Mabry Boulevard. Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Bucks were a number three total offense last year, and they've added Shady McCoy, Gronk, and Tom Brady. I think the thing that's really interesting with this team that we haven't talked about, Tom is new, but this is Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles' second year in the organization. So what Tampa was last year, frankly, and it's kind of obvious, they were just new. They had new coach, new coordinator, new players. So now all the young players are older. They've added veteran players, and Bowles and Bruce Arians are now in their second year. And you know this, our first 6 months together is different than our next 6 months. And our next 6 months is better than the last 6 months. It's called chemistry and time. So this young roster has a few older players, and now the young roster's in the second year with his coaching staff. So I think they make a big leap, maybe a little off in September. I would have loved to have seen a preseason for about five NFL teams. The Giants with Joe Judge, Cincinnati, Burrow, Miami. Washington, Miami with Tua. I would have loved to have seen a couple preseason games here. So I think they're choppy early, but great late.
Finally, what will the headline be for the Dallas Cowboys this season?
Dak to the drawing board. I think Dak's going to be okay. But again, this is another team. Sure could have used OTAs preseason with a new coach in Mike McCarthy and a new offense. And the thing that I worry about, the offensive line's getting worse in Dallas. So Tyron Smith is a great left tackle, going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He doesn't feel like a 16-game left tackle anymore. They lost Travis Frederick, a Hall of Fame first ballot center, first or second best center in the NFL. And everybody's getting older. And Zeke, as we've talked about on the show, Zeke numbers are very granularly, but coming down, he's not quite the same. So I think the window of everybody being great. Now, here's what I like. CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper. Tremendous receiving core. But if you don't have time to throw, makes it difficult. And Dak has struggled in the last couple of years with good teams. 6-12 last 3 years against playoff teams. And they also, this year, Dallas plays four top 10 scoring defenses. They go against the Ravens, the Steelers, the Vikings, the Niners. So the schedule with a new coach, no OTAs, no preseason, is full of four of the best defenses in the NFL. So I think a year from now, we're talking Dak's contract. What do you do with Dak? I think his numbers are okay. I think the schedule is not that easy. And we're going, all right, what do we got here? We got 8-8.
Never-ending contract conversation.
There you go. That's my... by the way, summer sports full swing, do-it-yourself project. It's Lowe's. I have my bar cart. Check it out on my Twitter account. And there you go. You know, I did see, what was the story we had on New England today? What did I do with it? Oh, Matt Light says if he was going to take, Matt Light's a former offensive lineman. I know Matt. He was talking about Brady or Belichick. Who's more influential? Here's what he said.
I think you got to go with Bill, and here's why, right? It took me a while, even in retirement, to look back and really appreciate the job that a coaching staff has to do. I mean, I appreciated my coaches. Being in retirement and being in the real world and trying to organize and motivate and keep people on track, you know, it's not easy. And when I think back on the job that Bill did and the consistent, you know, approach that he took to each and every day, it really is amazing. No disrespect to my man, number 12, but, you know, Bill, you know, in Bill we trust, right? I mean, God love him.
You know, it's interesting about this because the one thing that NFL coaches have always had that NBA coaches and baseball managers do not, the great advantage that the sport, the culture gives you is power. You can cut players. And Bill used that unstated fear to his advantage. They just cut you. Unless you're totally focused, I'm moving on. You can't do that in the NBA. You can't do it in baseball. Baseball's the players' union. You know, people are asking me, why didn't baseball have a bubble? Because the baseball player union's too strong. They offered the bubble. The players are like, talk to the hand, not interested. The NBA player union is strong, but not as strong as baseball's, but stronger in football. So they were willing to go in the bubble, but we get a lot of things our way in the bubble. The NFL's like... owners don't want a bubble, and owners, whatever the owners want, they mostly get. I mean, they were the last league to kind of acknowledge Roger Goodell, you know, hey, we're on your side, not the president. You know, we're gonna come across the aisle and work together with you. So, I mean, I think what Matt Light is saying is, man, once I retired and I see how hard it is to keep, like, in a business people focused, most companies, you know, the NFL – the coach still has ultimate power. And Belichick used it. You don't have to yell and scream. It's unsaid power, but I think that's what's amazing. In fact, with Kansas City, all I worry about is Andy Reid too nice. Can he keep the focus on this team? That's what I always worry about, the Super Bowl teams. Not the talent. Can they stay? Can Andy Reid still be mean? That matters. See you tomorrow, The Herd.